To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for CDs, MP3s, or written transcripts of today's program, Gary Young, Gun Down, Kids Getting Killed, call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Ed Mays recorded the program. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music from Pieces of Africa. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 10 o'clock. I'm Tave Fache-Drake, and we have a great morning of programming and interviews for you. Coming up next after these announcements, Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And then at 10:15, Letters and Politics presents Georgetown sociology professor Michael Eric Dyson, who's visiting KBOO today to discuss his new book, Tears We Cannot Stop, A Sermon to White America. Mr. Dyson will perform a reading tonight at Powell's at 7:30. At 11, on stage and studio, Dimae Roberts speaks to the artistic director of Triangle Productions' new work, Forever Dusty, a play about famed singer Dusty Springfield. And at 11:30, it's Art Focus. Andre Middleton presents Creative Women Making a Difference. He'll talk to Natalia Figueroa about YGB and previews Renee Lopez's solo show, Life Through My Lens.
Tuesday nights on KBOO, it's Cubby Cushy, Cubby Cush.
With DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid.
10 p.m. to midnight.
2 hours of global bass featuring Bhangra, Bollywood,
and the urban sounds of the global diaspora.
You're done north!
Today is Tuesday, January 24th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. A little weather first to get things rolling today. It's foggy out there in the Tulies, otherwise coming up partly sunny with a high around 44 and calm winds. Tonight could get a little bit of dusting of rain and a low around 37. If you live out in the country, you probably noticed a heavy frost this morning. And for tomorrow, again, occasional light showers and then coming and highs around 45, light east wind, and tomorrow night, Wednesday night, showers and a low around 35. That's it for the weather. There are a great many headlines today. We also have a wonderful guest. Melinda St. Louis is with Public Citizen, and we're going to be talking a little bit on Donald Trump's decision to pull out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The scary part is the manner in which other nations are responding. We would have hoped there might have been solidarity there with the new president, and that other nations party to this agreement, which, by the way, just let's emphasize one thing, get one thing straight right from the get-go. This is not anything to do with trade. This is the wholesale privatization of the world, the last of the world's resources. African nations probably will suffer the greatest, the depredations of the members of the hypothetical Trans-Pacific Partnership. There are pretty much every other headline that we have today relates to this in some manner. It's eerie the way events stack up. Here in Portland, environmental groups are filing a motion to a lawsuit to prevent the expansion of highly dangerous rail traffic through the Columbia River Gorge. And the Oregon State University Board of Trustees have voted to sell most of OSU's $8.8 million in fossil fuels. That's right, they're divesting. OSU has voted to divest from the fossil fuel industry. Then moving right along, environmentalists who cheered when Portland General Electric agreed to close its only coal-fired power plant now wonder what they're going to do next. It doesn't look good, especially with the Trump regime. We've got two ardent anti-global warming advocates from Washington State who are going to dismantle the EPA, and it goes on from there. But right now we want to welcome Melinda St. Louis to the KBOO airwaves. Thank you. Melinda's with Public Citizen, an organization that has done enormous good in the world. We know works oftentimes behind the scenes keep this so-called ship of state on an even keel. Public Citizen does a great more than they are very often credited for, and it's due to the hard work of people like our guest today, Melinda. Welcome to KBOO. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I received a press release alerting us to the fact that Donald Trump is intending to dismantle the America's part in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And we wonder what it's going to look like without huge American presence, and how China might exploit that void.
Well, so yesterday, President Trump did issue an executive order that formally withdrew the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiation. What's important for people to know is, though, that basically Donald Trump was burying the corpse of a deal that was already dead because it had not been able to achieve a majority in Congress to be passed. It had never been passed. The public was opposed to it in almost the whole year since the signing, and they had not been able to pass it in Congress. So the move is largely symbolic. People around in all of the TPP countries had been feeling the victory of the defeat of the TPP after more than 7 years of closed door negotiations. So the question going forward is, what will the trade policy look like? This, again, it's all well and good to bury something that was already dead. But we are now looking ahead to see, will the Trump administration pull out of ongoing negotiations that replicate the same types of pro-corporate rules that were in the TPP with the negotiations with Europe, the TTIP, there's a services agreement, the TISA, there's also negotiation. The U.S. has had an ongoing negotiation with China for the U.S.-China Bilateral Investment Treaty. It was notable that in the executive orders they did not stop those ongoing negotiations. So that will be a big question going forward, what the Trump administration will do. In addition to, will there be a policy, a new trade policy that puts people and the planet first?
That would be devoutly wished for. It never seemed that the Trans-Pacific Partnership was a trade deal. It was more thinly cloaked and very secretive effort to privatize virtually everything, every public institution, and every resource that left. It was a huge effort to turn all of that over to corporations and further the hybridization of corporate and government interests.
What we saw in the TPP, as you said, this was not about trade. And I think the mainstream media has got this wrong when they are talking about whether this is free trade or not. And frankly, probably in the way this was framed in the election was also protectionist versus free trade. The large organizations, the large coalition of environmentalists, labor, family farm, consumer groups that have been fighting the TPP for years have been clear that this was a wish list of the biggest corporations that was negotiated behind closed doors with 500 corporate advisors, literally providing text and having access to the text while the rest of us were locked out. And so what we saw were a series, when we finally were able to see what was being negotiated behind closed doors, when the negotiations were complete, were a set of rules that pushed a deregulatory agenda that allowed corporations to sue our government outside of our courts before panels of three corporate lawyers over our environmental laws or public health and safety laws to get millions or billions of dollars in taxpayer money in compensation if there were laws that they claimed violated the extreme rules they had under the TPP. And so it's a good thing that the TPP is officially dead. But again, we need to be pushing forward a vision, not in a vision that's about the U.S. versus the rest of the world or the U.S. Pitting U.S. workers against workers in other countries such as Mexico, but what we need to see is a different model that puts people and the planet at the center. And we'll need a whole new process. We can't have corporate cronies again helping to write these rules already in Trump's cabinet. We've seen TPP supporters in the cabinet, as well as billionaires and Trump himself is a multinational corporation. And so we need to continue to hold the feet to the fire, to not claim credit for killing something that was already dead because of international people power, but to to push forward for a different vision.
Melinda, then one final question before we let you go. How dangerous then is it if the TPP is off the table now, was off the table, and this dead in the water anyway? Affect the Trump administration's plans going forward, because I can see that this might clear the way for the U.S. to act unilaterally in its own interests to accelerate the privatization of every, as you said, every public institution, every resource, everything on the planet.
I mean, as we've seen, it remains to be seen what a trade policy will actually look like. Donald Trump, along with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, were opposed to the TPP because of the vast, because it was so unpopular. But we need to be very clear that we will not accept a deregulatory agenda in our trade policy. That we will not see this as an us against them mentality. We're not opposed to trade. We're not opposed to even globalization, but what we need to see are rules that that put the public interest at the center instead of multinational corporate interest at the center.
It's curious, isn't it, though, in just one final note, that mainstream media didn't think to ask the simplest possible question of why that these very disparate candidates and public figures, why they all oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership. There might have been some very interesting answers there, but no one thought to ask. The Public Citizen has deconstructed this and laid it out very clearly on the table exactly what this was, what it would have achieved, and what the world, the sort of global order looks like now. And there's been no one's thought to actually look at that. I find that absolutely extraordinary. Well, not really. I'm being facetious there, but it's not extraordinary. It's par for the course.
Well, the next, I'll end by saying the next thing that we all need to be focused on is that Donald Trump also promised to renegotiate NAFTA, mm-hmm. the North America Free Trade Agreement, and we expect a movement in that direction. There have been for decades. The civil society organizations in Mexico, Canada, and the United States have been calling for replacement of NAFTA, but we and there are a list of demands that civil society has put forward about what needs to be in or out of a replaced NAFTA in order to put the public interest at the center. You can go to citizenstrade.org. The Citizens Trade Campaign has put a list of demands forward. And also wehatenafta.org is a place for people to go to see kind of what the next steps of the campaign of setting the bar high of what trade policy really needs to look like, because that's what we need to be focused on going forward.
Melinda, thank you so much for joining us today. We were very grateful for your presence here and your clarification that you have supplied to listeners on what is often a confusing the confused and jaundiced view the mainstream media presents. Thank you so much. We're very grateful to you. My guest has been Melinda St. Louis with Public Citizen on trade and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This